B-Pod Studios.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take. I've got a million of them.
Zola. That's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Não é sobre ter todas as pessoas do mundo pra si. É sobre saber que algum lugar alguém zela por ti.
You want to know why he's going to keep working, Leroy?
Wise.
You're listening to it.
Oh, stop. That's so cruel. Don't do that.
You see, you know what time Maz gets here every day? 11:30.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
He has stuff in his trunk. He has four lockers. He has a desk. He has four computers.
Just need to get out of the house, man.
It ain't about work.
Oh, my God.
It's about I need to get out of the house.
She's getting her guitar out. I can't.
Tom, you have the one.
Y'all are terrible.
You have the one where she plays another riff at the end and she screams.
Oh. Goodbye.
What about the bare feet?
Thank you.
What's the people?
Let's go to the calls here. 617-779-0985. Joe in Pelham on Tom Brady going to the broadcast booth once he's done playing. What do you got for us, Joe?
Joe. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Well, my opinion on Zoe's take was that I don't think Tony Romo is a great commentator. It's kind of like a Pat Summerall and a John Madden kind of take.
I thought it was really good year one. I think something's happening right now, though. Not good.
But back to kind of the Brady thing I want to change over after hearing some of the conversations was mostly that Brady won't be a good commentator, in my opinion, because Fox is going to put him on. And there's a reason he's not going to be hired by CBS because of the Tony Romo, Jim Nantz thing, which Jim Nantz is fantastic. But Fox will bring him on mostly because he won't commentate a lot of Patriots games. And you won't want to see that. You don't want to see them talk about Tom when you're trying to watch the game.
That's exactly what people want to see. Exactly. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I want to see Tom Brady calling a Patriots game.
Right.
The reason why he's going to Fox is they've got the slot and they've got the money.
Right.
Believe me, CBS, you think CBS would shy away from hiring Tom Brady as an analyst because he would have to call too many Patriots games? No. It's the other way around. They're salivating at the idea. Oh, my God. We could have had Brady. I didn't know he was going to do this after he's got done playing. Somebody's probably getting fired at CBS today for not figuring out how to hire Tom Brady for this job.
We knew Romo was going through the whole gamut of interviewing and auditioning. You brought up Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. That was talked about multiple times, even before when he was still playing with the Saints, that was in play. Greg Olson, all these guys, like we all knew. Even Peyton Manning, you know, talking about ESPN was going to go after him for Monday Night Football. This was kept so quiet, which is impressive nowadays with leaks and who talks and who has their hands in this or hands in that. Like, if you're a network, like, we want to get this out, man. Like, oh, my God, they got Brady in here auditioning. He's really interested in this. That didn't come out. This was like a whopper today. I'm like, this ain't right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Leroy.
Oh, just quick, Zoe, quick question. Do they, when making these decisions, is there a test? Is there like a, not like a written test. I'm saying put the player in front of a mic.
No.
Have him.
I don't think so because, and you know why? Amazon was going to pay McVay $30 million a year.
Seriously, like, before you offer this up,
right.
Don't you make him do like a mock game to see if he could actually, if he, all right, we think he's going to be really, really, Tom Brady knows the game, but don't you have him do like maybe a quarter?
If your name's not Tom Brady.
Those guys
I think
don't.
That's
a Manning and Brady.
I think
Manning
that's
and Brady? No.
I think it's a good question and a reasonable request.
Right.
It is, but I bet you Peyton, not Eli, but I bet you Manning and Tom would never have to audition. Wow. But a guy like Drew Brees would.
It's like sticking David Lee Roth on the air to do morning shows, take over after Howard. Oh, he'll be able to do it.
Gobble.
Yeah, he was the lead singer of Van Halen. You ever hear him on the air before? He was great. And they put him on after, you know, like 2 weeks worth of rehearsal. It's like, oh, this sucks. Like, yeah, you should have found out ahead of time.
Who's better, him or Eddie Money? Who had a better run?
Eddie Money was better.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan in the car. What's up, Ryan?
Hello, Ryan.
Hello. What's up? So,
hi.
Hey, if you think ego's an issue, what better position for Tom Brady than a politician? I mean, they're full of egos anyway.
Yeah, but you got to work at that.
Elected...
You got to put in time.
Tom Brady, Tom Brady probably does more work now than any politician in the state of Massachusetts.
So I agree with that.
It would probably be a part-time job for him. The state house isn't open half the time anyway.
In terms of the hours put in, but what are Tom Brady's political beliefs aside from having a Trump hat in his locker? Like, what are the big issues that he's spoken out on? Nothing. I don't think
Strauss.
I don't think he's a very political guy.
Strauss.
I don't know. I don't know what he stands for.
I think it's his
and that's fine. I don't care. I don't
straws.
Care.
Like, I'm a big plastic straw guy. I don't want the paper straw. But he's anti paper. He's anti plastic straw.
You hate the oceans.
I don't hate. I love the oceans.
Well, then you should.
I love a drink with a good plastic straw. That's
all. Well, then you should.
I don't throw my straw in the ocean.
No, you throw it in the woods behind your house next to the paint cans.
I burn it.
And the used
I burn it in
oil.
My fireplace.
Yes.
Oh, poor Giselle. I feel for her.
If you ever run through a village,
I still don't understand why you feel bad for Giselle, because he's going to be out of the house 2 days a week.
He's never run through a village bare feet where he could feel the earth.
Feel the earth, the wet
earth. Before you get on your private jet.
Again, because she has made it clear, I need my baby home. She wants him home. And you know what else is confusing to me?
He'll be home 5 days a week.
No. Use your strong leg.
Listen.
Use your strong leg.
You know what, Leroy? I'll tell you something else. This is the biggest fallacy in all of sports when it comes to this. He's home 5 days a week now. He's home on home games and home weeks. He's home
he's
every
at the
single
Derby.
Day.
Alex lives with him. They do the massage thing downstairs. They kiss the kids. He's home all the time.
He home more than you are, I bet.
He watches all his film at home.
Okay, I need you
technology,
to
Leroy.
Explain this to me. Did you two see the last episode of Man in the Arena?
No.
All right, let me explain what happens. At one point, he's sitting in the chair, and he starts still crying and wiping his eyes because he's not as good as his father was at being a father. Why would you say that and then not want to, once you're done with the game, just say, you know what? I'm going home. I've done it all. I don't need to do anything else.
Because 90% of what he says is a lie. Yeah. He told us that.
I got politicians very upset.
Crocodile tears.
Too. So my state rep, Sean Dooley, does do work.
I'm friends with a couple of... You know what? Ed Coppinger, one of the hardest working guys I know.
You know what? I meant that from a bigger standpoint. The ones are always on TV. I mean, but our state reps, our town reps and all that, they do a lot of groundwork.
Right.
So shout out to Sean.
Our selectman in Kent, doing a fine job.
There you go.
Shout them all.
And school board. Yeah, I mean, the ones that always stand outside the school.
Yeah. Tom Brady's going to join the school
he's
board
not
first.
Do that.
And then he's going to run it for city council, and then he'll work for a state. He's not going into politics. I don't think he has anything to say beyond buy my $400 T-shirts. You know, that's what he has to say.
Don't eat tomatoes.
He'll have a chance to say that on the air. He'll have a chance to work in some TB12 talk while he's doing the games on Fox. I can't believe he's doing it. I really can't. Lou, what do you got for us?
Yeah, how you doing? First of all, I want to get that. I have a point about Brady, but about the addiction thing that you were talking about before. Of course, he's addicted. It's almost like a video game addiction. You don't think it's a huge rush when you can send Evans out and beat Jalen Ramsey on a long pass like he did in that game with the Rams. Winning is his rush. That is. It's like an addiction to figure out defenses to win games. But here's the point. The point is that Brady knows more than about anybody else in the game. And I'll even say even as much as Belichick, or maybe not more. If I can translate to his commentary, that would be great. But how are you going to make Brady entertaining? Because he is a little bland. He is a little dry. And even when he played, to have the cool he has, he had to be a little cool, a little dry, a little bland. How are you going to get him to be entertaining and to translate that to the audience who's going to want to watch him every week?
It's a great question. That's the challenge, and he's got to work to get good at it.
Anybody going to any job, it's probably going to be a work in progress. Yeah. I thought Romo was pretty good from the jump.
Yep.
Do you remember Romo stumbling at all at the beginning?
No.
It's pretty good.
But the thing with Romo that stands out the most that I remember, people were really excited that he would call things out before it would happen.
Yeah.
And that was... Maybe I'm wrong, but that was basically it. Like, all right, he's telling us what's about to happen, and it ends up happening.
Was he anti-Phil Sims? That's why a lot of people love him.
Okay.
He replaced Sims, and Sims just told you exactly what you just saw after it.
Mm.
You know, Tony would jump it, and he was pretty good at it.
Terry in Middleborough. What do you got, Terry?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
So I just don't understand how you guys feel that it would be lowering him or belittling him. Maybe he loves his job, wants to stay working, set a good example for his kids. His kids are getting older now. What's he going to do at home when they're in school all day and doing their sports?
I'm not belittling him. I'm blindsided by this because I thought, you know, he's going to jump into the TB12 thing and just take on that whole lifestyle and the fitness end. And
yeah,
I didn't think he'd have interest in this. He loves, and be around football every day.
He loves what job, Terry? The broadcast job? He doesn't have that job. He's never done that job.
No, he loves the job of football in any shape or form. So
well,
teaching it, talking about it, helping other people understand what's going to be happening in a game. That's his gig. That's what he's going to do and make a couple extra $1 million, $25 million a year.
It could be that simple. I still think of it as being a much less lofty position as being going from his job right now is to be the greatest quarterback who ever played the game to being the second voice in a booth.
That's so nice to have that set up for you, though.
I mean, it's...
Like, you go from that to like, hey, so, when I'm officially done here, I got this other gig that's going to pay me $25. You
know? It's nice, but how glamorous is your job, Zoe?
He'll get. You know what? Week six will hit him, and he's jumping on that flight at about 2 a.m.
And he's going to call, give me a game. Give me a game that he's not going to be excited to go call.
How about this one? San Francisco at Seattle.
Yeah.
When he's got to fly from Miami to Seattle privately.
No Russell Wilson.
Now you're flying private. Again, what? You're flying private. You're still flying. Flying wears on you. You know, overnights.
Right.
Red eyes. Time changes.
Everybody's
How about Germany? You know when he's going to get tired? Playing in Germany this year against Seattle with the Bucs.
Do you think, now let's flip it. Do you think knowing that I have a job, Brady knowing that he has a job after football, could help hurry up the process of him retiring.
Change no. when he might retire. Yeah. Interesting question. Hold on, we'll talk about it next.
Okay.
It's another good question. You know what? I like Leroy.
I'll tell you why, no.
I like Leroy. He gives us things to think about.
Well, you got to tell the story when you think where we first met.
Oh, yeah,
I have a guess, and you have a guess.
All right, we'll do that next, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
Nefarious is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your call, 617-779-0985. Before we do, Leroy Irvin in today on Zolak and Bertrand asked, does Tom Brady having a job in TV make it any easier for him to ultimately step away from the field and go up to the booth? What do you think, Zoe?
Here's the thing that I remember with production meetings. This is where Brady's going to be really good from this part of it. Like, he's done 20-plus years of these production meetings. When I say a production meeting, it's where the TV crew comes in, and they sit down with the quarterback and the head coach and maybe another star player. And he's sitting there for about an hour, and they just pick your brain about what's been going on. So he knows all the questions now. So he's going to understand the flip reversal side of that. Okay, me as an analyst now, this is what I'm going to be asking this guy, and this is what he's going to have to get past too. Then being starstruck when he comes in the room. Like, and I remember Joe Theismann when I was rooming with Bledsoe, and Theismann would come in. Next thing you know, we're talking about Joe Theismann instead of Drew Bledsoe, because Theismann liked to talk about himself too. Not that Tom likes to talk about himself, but if you're some young star player and you're coming in, Brady's interviewing, like, wow, man, I'm getting by Tom Brady. What's your favorite Super Bowl? Like, you asked me, mm-hmm. Which Super Bowl? I said, Seattle Super Bowl. Brady's going to get a lot of that. So they're going to have to, like,
fight
that off of the head with the PR guy.
Let me ask the question again,
because
you just talked about a whole bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with the question. Does Tom Brady having a job in the booth make it easier for him to leave the field?
No. No, and I say that because he's going to leave the field when it falls off, when he knows I can't play. Because I think Tom was going to make money regardless of what he was going to choose
probably,
to do.
Probably. But one of the questions you have to ask, I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, this ultimate catalyst for him to leave. But one of the questions you have to ask yourself when you're going to retire from the game and you're doing it on your terms is, what am I going to do if I'm not playing football? It's done. It's already decided. He's going to be flying out, as you said, on Saturday mornings. He's going to be getting to town. He's going to be doing pre-production. He's going to be in the booth the next day. He knows what he's going to do. And he's going to have a few days to play golf and do a couple other things with TB12 and whatever he wants to. He knows what he's going to do. Now that he knows, that's one more thing to check off the box that might make it, even if it's just slightly incrementally easier to leave the game. He knows what he's going to do. And Leroy had a great point, too.
Yeah.
About playing in the games.
Right. Like, you just said he's going to walk away when he says to himself, maybe I can't play. Could it be possible? Is it possible that we're not winning could be something that, you know, crosses his mind? And what I mean by that is, let's say whatever team he ends up on.
I mean, they were 12-4 last year and he was miserable at the end.
Right. So let's say he's on a team. He's playing phenomenal, but the team isn't.
13-4, excuse me.
Right. A linebacker comes across.
Yeah. What am I doing?
Blows him up. He's laying down, face down on the... Right.
Right. He doesn't do that. Now, I could be in a place where I will never get hit again.
Yeah.
here's what still this... be around football and make $20-25 million a year.
Right.
Here's what this can do, though. This could completely eliminate the whole Miami situation. And I keep bringing up Dolphins jokingly. When you've already agreed to do something or you have a contract, right? I mean, I'm sure they had to get this in writing before... You know, this information was put out. That tells you the whole Miami thing's dead. Mm. Like the ownership part, the president part, him and Stephen Ross and the golfing, and, you know, he's going to be a front office guy in Miami. Now I found this other thing that I can do, and maybe that whole Brian Flores thing blew up this whole opportunity, him and Sean Payton to come together down in Miami, because a lot of people still think that's in play. This could tell you it's bucks than that, and Miami's dead.
But we don't know that for sure. It doesn't say when he's done playing football with the Buccaneers. He says when he's done playing football. What if he plays, you know, finishes out this season with the Bucs and does have 1 year with the Dolphins?
You go San Francisco. You brought San Francisco up. Like, that could be in play.
I don't know. The stuff that's gone on the last few years is so crazy. I can't predict what's going to happen next.
I don't think it's one and done. I think he's two more.
All right, let's go to... Nick in Plymouth on Tom Brady going into the booth. What do you got, Nick?
Hey, two quick questions. One, does the contract have anything that you think would allow him to speak about TB12 so many times within the actual game? And then two, how happy or upset do you think that Arians is now that he basically gave up his job to allow him to come in 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, and already has his contract to go forward? By the way, can Leroy stay on more than bringing in the Dark Knight there? I mean, he's doing so much better, too.
We'll take that up with management. Thank you.
Bruce Arians, what is it? He looks at this. Like, oh, my God.
Poor Jones.
They forced me out of here to bring this guy back. He's already got his next job lined up. Unbelievable. Haven't even told me what I'm doing here yet.
What? No. Someone tweeted us. Is there a Gronk connection? Fox, Gronk?
Fox, he worked at Fox with wrestling first, and then he did some studio.
Yeah, he did some
it was awful.
NFL on Fox stuff.
Not good. Oh, my God. He did a couple like
of that. I can't be around it enough. Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Linda in Quincy. What do you got, Linda?
Hi, Linda.
Hi. It's like I have two avenues here. One, Brady changes his mind lately after 20 years. He changes his mind like other people change their underwear. And the other thing is, I do believe that Zoe has hit on something that there's something with this this Miami thing. Did he have, you know how like people say, don't watch over here, go look over there. I'll make something shine over to the right. Don't look to the left. So maybe... he is got his hands dirty with that mess, and he kind of wants people to not associate himself right now with Miami and the mess. But I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
So you think he may change his mind and not ultimately end up in the broadcast booth, Linda?
Like anything is possible. He just—it's weird.
Sure.
Why not? The most consistent person ever, and then boom, bing, 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 boom, boom, bing, bing, bing.
That's right.
Yeah, it sounds like Tommy and
Goodfellas. You know what? She's absolutely right, yeah. Adam. It's not some rollout from Fox. It was Adam Schefter and then Tom Brady talking about it. What does that mean? It has to happen? No.
No, this could be Tom controlling another situation where I'm going to get people looking this way and I go the other, you know.
Misdirection.
Yep. Great confusion.
Leroy, you ever talked to Jake in Boston before?
Oh.
Sounds familiar, but Jake is such a common name, but let's see.
Jake, have you ever spoken with Leroy Irvin before?
I think once or twice, and I probably triggered him on something Jaylen Brown related.
Okay.
The Brady hate here is obnoxious. First of all, though, I thought you got real up to speed on the Barstool drama last night when Brady and Jules started tweeting about it. Was Brady on Team Zoe when your water cooler broke like he was on Team Hank last night? Don't think so.
Excellent.
Two, the trashing of Brady. First of all, attacking Brady's family life, his woman and his kids, how he's still in love with football. I wish we were talking about that with Bill Belichick.
No, that's your turf. I apologize for stepping on your toes there, Jake. You're absolutely right. We were out of line.
I wish Bill would leave Linda hanging like Tom leaves Giselle hanging on some of this stuff, like the first day of free agency a couple years ago. But what you guys haven't talked about is Tom likes to compete above all. I don't know if Bill does at this point, but do you think Tom texted Peyton Manning and reminded him that he is on ESPN 2 and that Joe
yeah, his brother
on ESPN?
Right.
And he's on the Opie show.
Do you think he texted Breeze and reminded him that he's going to make more money with Fox than he's on NBC? Do you think he's watching Wayne Gretzky right now nail that TNT gig he has? And I will admit, I was flat out wrong about Gretzky. I think Gretzky's been excellent, and I thought he was going to suck. And remember, Fox also has World Cup rights here coming up, and I bet Giselle's pretty happy about that, the little Brazilian princess.
There's always a tie-in. Yeah. Jake, there's always a tie-in with this guy. He's thinking four steps ahead, too.
Jake, I'm kind of with you. I think he'll be good at it, and I think he likes the competitive aspect of it, and he will be encouraged, and he'll be motivated to be good at it. I still can't figure out why. Why the greatest of all time would go into the broadcast booth week in and week out for a football season.
I thought that, too.
It's an odd move.
I thought he'd be done. When he's done, I thought he would be done. He'd walk away. I understand the team-building part of it, like why he would be interested in that, because it's something different. But for him to want to be there every Sunday for 17 weeks, and I think Fox has two of the next three Super Bowls, holy crap. So when Brady's done, he'll be calling Super Bowls.
And if he's that much of a competitor, which he is, don't you get the itch from the booth? You're looking down, I can do that. Maybe I can still do that.
I think you'll get the eye rolls because of, what's he looking at there? It's cover two. That's where he's going to, will he be interesting there? As far as critiquing a guy, especially a star player, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I wouldn't throw it there.
All right, let's step aside. Let's step aside here. We've covered the Celtics a lot today, and of course Tom Brady. We got to get a little bit in on the Bruins here as they get ready to play Game 5 tonight in Raleigh. Some updates in terms of who we can expect to see. More on that coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand with Hardy and Beadle and Leroy Irvin joining us today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
You like donuts? Nope.
And passionate.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb on the branch.
Okay? Brightest bulb on the branch?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's.
We have an update.
Oh, we have an update on the
monetary part.
On the money for Tom Brady's deal, as he is reported today by Adam Schefter, going to be going to Fox Sports as lead analyst once he leaves football, and will be the color analyst for football games in the booth, which we're all trying to figure out why would he do this? This doesn't make sense. It makes a little more sense now.
Yeah.
Do you have the numbers in front of you?
I do. Andrew Marchand from the New York Post. And you could take this as gospel. This guy breaks all the media news, all the contracts, the money, and all that stuff. 10 years, $375 million.
Excuse me? God.
Tom Brady's contract to call games for Fox Sports is for 10 years, $375 million, fully guaranteed.
See, when I hear numbers like that, Zo, I'm going
to
ask you.
We thought it was 20 to 25. It's 37.5.
Well, we thought it was 20-25 for maybe, well, that's 3-4 years. You could, okay, he's going to make another 100. No, he's going to make four times that guaranteed.
Oh, my God. This, when I hear people say, when I hear Tom Brady say, yo, he has more to prove. What is it?
To be good at that?
At what? No, I'm saying on the field.
Yeah.
Like those numbers?
I'd retire today.
Right.
I'd keep working, getting on 375. Like this is, okay, so.
No, I'm saying if I were Tom Brady, I would tell the Buccaneers, you know what? I know I retired and then didn't retire, but I'm retiring again.
Right. Don't think.
375 for 10 years.
Don't you for once think that this is going to be the lone thing or this is going to be the coup de grace, you know, that Paulie and Dedham would call it. The coup de grace.
What?
That this would be it and only it. This is step one and he's got a plan here. Meaning, okay, you got him. You have her, Giselle. We know her net worth. Mm. This puts him in another stratosphere at what age? 54, 55? Mm-hmm. That ownership will be in play of something. With his connections, you know, as he's starting to spread out. And you brought it up too, like the soccer part of this, you know, the European League stuff. His relationship now with the Glazers. There's something else coming on top of this after this. This is step one in the process, meaning that this guy's got a plan. It's not just 10 years of calling games. That's it.
Right.
No.
If he retires after next year, he would have earned $332 million in his career. How many years? 23?
Okay. So, Walton, the guy that is the heir to the Walmart fortune, is potentially going to buy the Denver Broncos. It's going to cost $5 billion. $5 billion. Brady's not going to have that type of money, but you're going to be able to put some sort of group together, the whole Magic Johnson type thing, Michael Jordan type money. Like,
right.
He's starting to hang and talk to get those type of guys now. You know, guys the greatest that ever play. Beckham. You know, I mean,
I don't pretend to have an understanding of when it comes to ownership, but my gut tells me when, you know, someone goes to buy the Denver Broncos, they don't write a check for $5 billion out of their personal account. So you don't need to have that. You do need to have, if you're going to be considered an owner, you need to have significant personal money to back up the loans and the group of investors. And where Tom Brady and Giselle are, they're very, very wealthy. But I don't know if it's like ownership type wealth. You tack on another $375 million guaranteed over 10 years. Now you're approaching the type of money where maybe you do have the type of funds required to be...
She's got rights.
An owner.
She's got stuff that just keeps paying her. And the Walton guy, they said if this goes through and he buys the Broncos, he will surpass the next richest owner in the NFL by over $50 billion.
Well,
that's how much money this guy has.
Okay, well, maybe they...
Maybe I think he might write that loan check, Hardy.
Maybe Tom and Giselle don't have owner money. You know, we've talked about this before. A lot of these owners, when it comes to paying their players, how can you... it's like, please. You know, Jerry Jones wakes up tomorrow with the money that he's paid Dak Prescott, he'd kill himself. That's nothing compared to what Jones is worth. I mean, these guys are billions upon billions, so I get that. But, wow. 10 years, $375 million contract for Brady to call games for Fox Sports. It is more than Aikman and Romo combined.
Without ever doing it. Unbelievable.
Never done it.
Floored.
Didn't he show up on the Peyton Manning, the Monday night? No,
it's just a gratuitous Zoom grab.
But even on that, because I don't remember it, but what was, you can't even compare it, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. That's just like, hey, it's like them FaceTiming each other. Mm. You know?
Let's find out very quickly here before we go to break if Zoe remembers the first time he met Leroy. Leroy, you say you have a very clear recollection of the first time you met Scott Zolak.
I don't know what Leroy's going to say, but I'm going to say I was driving in, I was listening to Hot, and you had Any Carmoza, Hot Stepper playing. And I snapped out, and I came in and credited you guys for playing that.
Wrong.
Okay.
It was about, could have been 8 to 10 years ago. Maybe 8 years. Yeah.
Oh.
So, shout outs to Rick Radzik.
Rick Radzik.
Yeah. He had me come up to a building, the old building you guys used to be.
Right.
Oh, CBS. Yes. Whatever, CBS.
Go down in that basement.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in his office. And as I'm walking to his office, I'm getting looks from everybody like, who's this guy? What's going on? What's the deal? Anyways, I'm sitting in Rick's office, and you know who comes in there with a big old smile and had the decency to at least say hello? Scott Zolak.
Wow.
He comes in there.
And the rest of the show.
Hey, what's up? Who's this guy? Who are you? And he was, you know, and that's the first time we met. And I appreciated that because, again, as I was walking through the building, I just got looks of confusion.
Well, let me ask you something.
Well, because it's job threatening. Like,
how were you dressed?
Why are they interviewing more people?
I don't remember.
Were you dressed for a job interview?
Probably.
Okay. We were 8 to 10 years ago.
We all
thought, everyone in the building except for Zoe, thought we were going to lose our jobs.
We heard the rumors.
Wait,
you were there to take my job.
Am
I
going to
go
away.
Shake your hand?
I remember when sales were going through. I remember when Jim Murray was booking doctor's appointments because he wanted to hurry up before the insurance ran out.
Absolutely.
Everybody was talking about
it. So when BCM went out the air, I packed up my stuff. I still have boxes of stuff I packed up.
Go on a couple radio websites, buddy.
Yeah. I packed up my stuff. I got it all out of there because I thought I was going to be on the streets. So what do you want us to do? Two years into that station, it wasn't. Look, we weren't an immediate success. Anybody walking in the building dressed like a job interview? Why don't you get the hell out of here?
So are you trying to tell me Zoe's love was not genuine? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
He was the only one who felt safe.
The only one felt safe going back here and say hi.
Yeah.
So I don't find out what's going on.
Zoe never thinks he's getting fired.
They sent me
anytime.
And I go, Zoe, go down there.
Oh, sniff
this off.
He didn't play a snap down in Miami. He was still shocked when they told him to pack his stuff and get out.
A-holes.
How can you fire me? I'm Zoe.
Yo, I remember.
I love Miami.
He must have just had something to eat because he comes in there wiping the head. What's up? Who's this?
Wow, that's
nice to yeah.
Well, because Chachi used to be in the back office there, and then Rick was right next to him.
Yeah.
What was the name of that pizza place we got?
Big Daddy's.
Oh, he was probably at Big Daddy's.
Probably at Big Daddy's. Yeah. Or I eat someone's food out of the fridge. Rucker probably had a food drop or something. Who knows?
There you go. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Good stuff, Leroy.
Wow.
It's good memory. All right. We will return. And yes, your thoughts on the Bruins tonight. Obviously, huge, pivotal game 5 with the series tied at 2. Thoughts as we continue on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This hour is Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor, Brian Scalabrini, 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hit it.
This song is right up your alley, Zoe.
I love this song.
I know you do.
Murderer.
I didn't know they were saying murderer until about a year ago.
Excuse me, Mr. Officer.
I thought he was saying word him up, which is not a thing.
Yo, it's clear as, like, it's clear.
That's not a thing, Mark.
It was not clear to me.
I thought he was saying word him up.
Word him up. I'm the lyrical.
Nope. Murderer.
Word him up.
Oh, my God.
Like, word up. It's the code word. No matter where you say, you know that you'll be heard.
Oh, boy.
How many times you play this a day, Leroy? For 96?
Not too often now, but there are times it'll make a return.
It hits you. It hits
it'll
you
come
when
back.
It's in a spice category. Let's talk about this Game 5 tonight between the Bruins and Hurricanes. So, general thoughts on Game 5s?
I mean, I joked with Beetle when he got not upset me, but he's like, oh, now it's a series, best of three. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. It's when it starts again.
That's when he
like,
said, you win two games, you win. Oh, really? Do you? But no.
It's the game.
Okay.
It's the game of the, I think it's, we've done this, and we've been fortunate enough here to do sports radio in this city to where we've pre-gamed a lot of Game 5s. Like, what is the importance of this game?
Leroy,
what
did you tell me about Game 5s in the NHL?
Oh, 75% of Game 5 winners going to win the series.
We've done this and
then when you
times.
When a series is tied at two games apiece, the winner of Game 5 wins, what, close to like 79%? Might as well say 80% of the time. So, yeah, tonight is...
The loser feels like it's slipping away
because
from
there's
it.
Different numbers based on like a 3-1, okay. You know, it's whoever ends up winning it. It could very well be the team that's, you know, down two games. And, you know, what are the odds that they're going to win two more?
Right.
But when it's tied at two, it's even more definitive as to who is going to go on to win the series.
And you know what adds to this? I think it's the fact that the Hurricanes had a lead, a two-game lead, and to see it go away.
Not only to see it go away, but to see it go away without your best defenseman on the ice, without Hampus Lindholm, without Charlie McAvoy. Now, I'm not saying that's any way to win, and we don't know if Lindholm is going to play tonight. He wasn't on the ice for the morning skate. Charlie McAvoy is still in the COVID protocol. I heard somebody this morning, by the way, like railing against the COVID testing in the NHL. Why he's still testing? You know whether because he's sick.
Mm.
This is not a case of somebody like going overboard with the testing. Charlie McAvoy is or was ill.
Yeah.
Now,
that was confirmed. That was confirmed here on this station with Fluto Shinzawa. He went on with Tucker and Rich, and he said, guys, Charlie did not feel well. He is sick. This is why they tested him. And he said, also, 2018, he had a heart procedure, which puts him in another category.
Right.
He goes, they are going to be very careful with Charlie.
So the idiot I heard talking about it this morning,
team,
talking about how, oh, he just needs to forget
stop
about it, not test. He's sick. That there's the difference. Now, if he's just got the sniffles and he's tapping out, you know, because of that, that's a different conversation. But Cassidy even said it. He's like, oh, he's feeling better. That's a good thing. This is where we are. You need to stop complaining about that, especially if a guy is actually sick.
Mm.
I'd rather he wasn't. And I'm not saying this is any recipe for success for the Bruins going forward. But to Leroy's point, for Carolina to be up 2-0 and then their mouths just had to have been watering. Yeah. Oh, my God. Lindholm out. McAvoy out. This is going to be great. Whoops. We're tied at 2. Uh-oh. And now D'Angelo is trying to convince himself, the defenseman for Carolina, that the building is much louder. Oh, we'll go back to Raleigh, and we'll play in a louder building where there's more energy. Tell yourself whenever you need to, D'Angelo, you piece of crap. That is going to be as close to a must-win game as we've seen so far in this series. I didn't believe that they needed to win Game 2, the Bruins. I didn't believe they needed to look, go ahead.
You take control of the series.
Go down 0-2. It's fine. Once you get back to Boston, you win a game, and then we'll see. And we saw.
But there's no pressure on that. Like, if you lose Game 3, like, you're losing the series. Like, Game 5, it swings the whole thing back.
Game 5.
Game 5 is bigger than being down 0-2.
This is closer to a must-win than
Game 3 being down 0-2.
Than Game 3 was. Yes, it is. It just is. Statistically, what Leroy said earlier and what you're looking at how the series is playing out right now. You got another night now without some of your key defensemen. How are you going to play tonight in their building?
And again, I'm going to ask this because I don't front Nat like I'm Mr. Know-It-All. Especially when it comes to hockey. But the slash to Bergeron, is that something that...
Oh, the high stick.
The high stick, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that something that will carry the Bruins? Like, you know, is that something that they'll feed off of?
I think it's one of those weird things that it just happens in hockey.
Mm.
I think it was not intentional anyway. He was trying to lift Bergeron's stick. The blade of his stick came up, got him under the visor. Mm. It happens. You know, it happens. It's like Char a few years ago took a puck off the jaw, broke his jaw. Mm. There's no intent
it
there.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. It's an unfortunate thing, but I don't think they get any extra motivation out of that. I think the motivation comes from a guy like Bergeron, funny you mention him, who, take it for what it's worth, it was Mother's Day. He mentioned it was nice playing an early game. The kids could be there. Brought his kids to the podium in the post game.
Mm.
Like, it feels like when you get to a player of Bergeron's age and accomplishments, every year you wonder if it's going to be his last. That's more of a motivator, I think, for Bergeron. And for the guys who love him. Listen to Brad Marchand talk about Patrice Bergeron. Oh, my God. Find someone who loves you, Leroy, the way Brad Marchand loves Patrice Bergeron. That should be all of our life goals. Mm. These guys want to win for Patrice Bergeron because there's an inkling this might be it for him. And I think that's as a big a motivator for them personally as anything else. Plus, I don't know. I like to think that the Bruins have the momentum after winning the last two, but at some point, is someone going to break through and break serve, so to speak, and get a win on the other team's ice? It hasn't happened yet. If it happens tonight, forget it. Start making your plans for the next round. That's what the Bruins win tonight, they win the series.
Winner tonight wins the series.
You look at how it's gone so far. Home team has won every game. Yeah. Four in a row. Bruins got to break that tonight.
How can you dumbass say that when they took two games without their tie? Yeah, I just feel that your entire series swings. You're getting a point now. You're getting gassed.
Well, this is this
traveling
the ultimate,
back and forth. It's on
this
plan,
is the ultimate
plan,
homer statement here, but I'll say it anyway. Bruins win tonight, they win the series. If they lose tonight, I still say it's anybody's series because Bruins can win at home in game six, and then, I'm sorry, game seven, all bets are off. I don't care where it is. Play it on the moon.
I hate games. You all love game sevens. I don't like game sevens.
Too much stress?
I like winning in six. I don't need it.
But the Bruins lose tonight, it's okay. You're going to win game six at home, and then all bets are off for game seven. It's a coin flip.
Remember the air in that building? Gave up those goals early against the Blues.
Oh, to St. Louis? I'd rather not. All right, back to the Celtics. Man, what a win last night. What a game for Al Horford. And what a talk about inspiring your teammates. What he did for Jason Tatum's game last night and everyone else. Well, not everyone. But we'll talk about it with you. 617-779-0985. Hardy in for Beadle on Zolak and Bertrand with Leroy Irvin here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.